Today I'm talking with Steve, who has ingenious methods of how to keep relationships fresh, which is very inspiring. And then he goes on to talk about how he's managed to develop a close-knit community in a Western society, which is fascinating to me because there's such a sparkle in his eye. And I don't believe that the one, being a close interpersonal relationship with a partner, can exist without the other being a close-knit community. And the reason I believe for that, and I actually speak at the end of the podcast about my own struggles with this, because I have my own struggles with favoring ambition over interpersonal relationships and the struggles that I've had in the last few months since filming this podcast. I'll talk about that at the end. But the reason I believe is, you know, in the last 17,000 years, which is only really 3% or even less of our DNA history, when we started settling down and we weren't in this close-knit clan, that the clan actually was more important for the clan to survive. So for one individual to survive, the whole clan had to survive. So you all had to work together and you develop these really close relationships. And that is why a lot of us are feeling disillusioned nowadays, because we don't have that really close-knit community. We might have one or two friends, and we might have a girlfriend or boyfriend. We don't have that close-knit community like Steve does in this instance. So, and that developed in our DNA, and I believe that one person can't give that to you, and that's why people get disillusioned in relationships. It feels so good for the first 3 months, and then what they call the big fade that happens, and it's because of that sort of fairy tale type ending, you know, the Cinderella, you know, when she meets the prince and then the happy ever after, and we've all kind of bought into that, and there's thousands of rom-coms that, you know, keep on reinforcing this message. And it makes us kind of work towards this one end goal. And that's not the end goal, actually. What I've discovered in my own life is that a close-knit community is actually what gives you that confidence and that happiness and that feeling of belonging, which is actually what we're all striving for. It's not that one person that makes us work really hard. But I explain my own sort of difficulties with that at the end of the podcast since I recorded this with Steve. So I hope you enjoy.
So we are here with Steve, God's gift to women.
This is the best intro.
There we go. So Steve, God's gift to humanity. No, he really is, from what I've observed over the past, how long has it been? 10 days of getting 10 days, to know you?
Yeah.
Yeah. There were three things. The one was that you had friends that they go on a date once a week. Mm-hmm. Right, you've got a friends that are a couple. They've been together for 10 years. They go for a drink once a week.
Yeah.
The second thing you mentioned was that you like every month or 2 months say to your partner, you say, what it is you want from life? Like, where do you want to move forward from life? Okay, that was the second thing that I remember you said. The third thing, which I really also found very interesting, was about spending time apart, about personal growth. So you are away from your girlfriend at the moment. You're in Thailand, and you take holidays. She takes her own holidays. And so you work personally on yourself, because you were saying that when two people are together all the time, then they become like this mixture of the two people, and then they don't have enough time for individual growth. Can you speak to those three points? If you can, you'll probably be way more eloquent than what I am.
Okay, I will start with the first point. As an example, in our discussion before, I brought in a couple I know, who are together for 10 to 20 years now, and to keep their relationship fresh, they are doing something very active. They just go once per week, they go together and drink a beer together. Mm. Just these two, like they would go on their first date.
On their first date. Yeah. Like it's the first date.
Like it's the first date.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they just talk about everything which is just important in life. Now, about work, about whatever. But it's not just being, like sitting on the couch in front of the TV and going, hey, what's your day today? It was fine.
It's just the emotions, yeah.
It was really active to concentrate on this person and really take what this person is saying to you and give back what this person wants to know from yourself.
Yeah.
This is one of the parts, one as an example, that you can keep relationships fresh. This is something, it's like about the mindset behind it, how you approach a relationship. Yeah. So you don't get bored or just, yeah, it's, it's something usual because it never is. It's always something which is happiness in the life, and it's very important in your life. It's something very essential and essential. The point is this, in a relationship, you give love and you give something from yourself to your partner.
Yeah.
And you get something back.
Yeah.
And if this is always the same, it gets boring. Yeah. And one of the, if you are in a longer relationship, the people grow together and they just make everything together, eating together, all the work, everything is reflected for the other person, and it's like a synergy. Yeah. And they grow together. Yeah. And so the people can't, and it, this stops people from evolving themselves and from growing, because they grow so much together that they stop to growing themselves, and that they can't bring nothing new in the relationship.
Exactly. That's exactly how you explained it to me, and it made so much sense, because I've been in relationships where I realized that I've just stopped growing.
Yes.
You know, and then I don't like the person I've become.
This, yes. And then, and this gives also the partner of you a responsibility which they can't burden.
They can't fill.
They can't fill this responsibility, because it's your responsibility to grow for yourself.
Yeah.
To bring these new opinions, these new experiences also into the relationship. So the other person can also grow yourself. Or conflicts, discussions, so you can always bring something new.
So it's exciting, yeah.
It's exciting, yeah.
Yes, so it's like you're rediscovering each other all the time.
All the time.
I spoke to you about this book, Sex at Dawn, which kind of changed, caused a revolution in America. It came out in 2010. It really investigated the psychiatric and the inherited sort of from hunter-gatherers, why it feels so unnatural for women and men to be in a monogamous relationship. And I actually went to my girlfriend at the time and said, I get it, you know, I get why when you drank, I get why you look at other men. And she completely denied it. She said, no, she doesn't. But it was because of our relationship hadn't developed in that way. We kind of hid things from each other, you know, and that was just our way of doing things, especially when it came to this sensitive topic, which it is in Western society. And but I'd read the book, and I was like, I finally get it, you know. And he says as well, Chris Ryan says, that he is actually thanked more by men than he is by women. You know, more men come up to him and thank him for the book, because they finally go, like, a woman is neither a saint or a prostitute. So she's neither Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. So she's neither Mary, you know, like the virgins, you know, Mary the Virgin, or Mary Magdalene the prostitute. She's in the middle. You know, a woman has needs like men do. And they explain it through sort of evolutionary terms.
But trust is a decision. Yeah?
Okay.
And if this trust fails because the other people is lying or cheating, yeah,
all right,
then trust is broken. But to trust a person is a decision.
Okay.
It's something which you give or you don't give.
Ah, so your philosophy is to give trust straight away, and
yes,
then if it gets broken, then
it won't come back.
Then it doesn't come back.
No, because it's broken. Yeah, and it's because you know you can't rely on this person in this topic, because perhaps in other topics, yeah, but not in this topic. And this is also okay, yeah, because then you have learned something about this other person.
Most important thing that I've really learned from you is building a community. So how okay, firstly, why? And well, okay, I can say why, because loneliness is the biggest epidemic facing humans today, all right? In my opinion, people are lonely. It's the modern way of life. I mean, that's just something we just know. You have developed this community, and how have you done it, and what were your motives, and I just want to know everything about this, please.
Sure, I'll talk with you. The point is this, very often in my life, and many people have perhaps this feeling, we live in a place where we want not to be. We live in a society where we feel wrong. Yeah. Where we feel wrong.
Wrong.
Yeah,
wrong.
We feel wrong.
You feel out of place. Yeah.
We feel out of place, and we feel that's nothing where I feel comfortable with. Yeah.
And that's all of us feel like that a little bit. Yeah.
Yes. And, but what is the solution? The solution is always what we make out of it. Yeah. And my solution, the solution of my many friends of mine, or were comrades. I met later in life was we have to build our own society, our own form of society, like in a small area, in our town or a village where we live. And you try to find people who have a will feel the same. Yeah, I just wanted to say the same mindset, but it's not true. We have all a different mindset. We all criticize each other. We don't we have things in common, but we also fight and trouble and struggle together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we made this choice to take a part of our life together. So we build a community, and it's growing. It's up to a few hundred persons now. Yeah, it's
keeping 300. And how long has it taken to?
But it's there's always an inner core where people have put more work into it to grow. Yeah, and to build different groups and stuff like that. Yeah, and then you rent a flat, or you rent a local or a restaurant or a bar. Yeah, and you make your own community rooms out of it. Yeah.
You rent a flat or restaurant and bar, and then you have like meetings.
In the meantime, we rent different flats with different where people live. We rent a restaurant, we rent a bar. Yeah, and
permanently or just for one night?
Permanently.
Permanently renting restaurant.
Yeah, we have and people of our community are serving and cooking in this restaurant.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so we can also, if people need a work because they don't have one, they just can start working there sometimes for a few months.
Okay, so in this community as well, and the flat, what happens in the flat? Is that where you have meetings?
And people live there.
Oh, people live there.
People live there. Yeah, sometimes
the people that can't afford it live there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes up to 8 or 10 people who live together there permanently.
Okay, that's also got to do with some of the activism that you do. But
yes,
yeah, but
it's also a kind of form of it. But yeah,
but it can just be mates of yours that live there. So it's not people necessarily with a similar mindset, but people that want to join this community that are also maybe open-minded people, sort of open-minded people that want to have the sense of community like we all do.
Yes.
I think this is like we all want to feel like we belong to a tribe.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily us against them. It's just us. Like we just want to feel like we belong. Yeah. I've felt like I didn't belong most of my life. So I can attest to that. And I think most people do as well. You know, even people that seem like they belong. I think if you really had to ask them, do they feel like they really belong? They'll go like, something I think is missing, you know, and I think a lot of that is that genetically we do come from smaller clans, you know, are very tight-knit, egalitarian. And I had to Google egalitarian from that book, Sex at Dawn. But egalitarian means that it's completely equal, you know, like there's no one above anyone else, you know. I think that's what it means, pretty certain. But it basically means that there's a distribution of power. There's no such thing as power.
Equality is a big part how we try to organize and structure our communities and our community, because people are different, and some people are good in talking, some people are not good in talking, some people are more quiet, but everyone has the right and also the need to be heard of. Yeah. So, and when we also have discussions or group meetings, yeah, everyone has the same amount of time to speak there.
Okay.
And if somebody doesn't speak,
do you have like a flag? Do you have like a speaking flag?
Oh no, it's not something like this. We try this, but it's just sometimes very childish, and it's nice for a workshop sometimes.
Yeah.
A workshop, but not for regular living.
Okay.
If you live like this, so you try to find a system where everyone we can ask, what is your opinion? What do you want to say? How would you do this? Also, when people don't want to say something, they don't have to say it. They just can write it down, send it by email later, or whatever. We always find solutions for these social struggles.
Yeah. And this community, it's built and people love it, it seems.
People love it. People live like this. It's like an extended family.
Yeah.
It's a...
Do you live together with people? Or I mean, you live with your girlfriend?
Yeah, but it's too private. We don't talk about this here.
Okay.
But sometimes it's a family for by choice.
Family by choice,
Yeah.
but you live in, do you live close to the other people? Do you live within walking distance or cycling
Sure.
distance?
Yeah.
So everyone lives pretty close to each other.
Yes. Yes.
Because you have to, hey. I mean,
Yeah,
if you want to
sure.
see them
Yeah.
often and these are your good
Sure.
friends, this is your
And
community.
we when and different groups yeah, meet very often per week, two or three times per week. It's about what you want. Yeah. And we have also messenger groups with communities, also in our community, with up to 80 or 100 people, something like that. Just write in, hey, I'm bored, let's hang out, and a few people always come.
Oh, so it's a messenger group. So you have like
Sure,
a.
we have different messenger groups for different topics, for sport, for just hanging out, for going to a club.
Ah, clever.
Yeah.
So that's a brilliant idea. I mean, just for me to create messenger groups where you can have like 80 to 100 people. And then if I or anyone feels like doing sport, so I can have like my windsurfing group, whatever, or
Yes.
my,
Yeah.
jiu-jitsu group. Say, so, hey, I feel like doing some, or hiking or whatever, or skiing or whatever it is. I feel like going swimming. You know, who wants to go swimming tomorrow morning? One or two or three people out of those 80 will say, yes, I feel
Yes.
like doing it.
Yes.
It's brilliant.
That's
That's
the
so
point.
brilliant.
That's like this. And also, that's one party. Other parties, they're not just random people inside these messenger groups. They're people we know from going out, from working together to political movement stuff together, of out of relationships or just friendships.
Do
This
you have to vet these people? Yeah, that's, I think that's what
It's
you're
not
trying to
random
say.
people. I know every person there very
So you
good.
know every person in these 80 to 100. So
Yeah, for
it,
sure.
but you've lived in this community in this village for a long time.
For a long
So
time. So
you've built
it
trust.
grows. At the beginning, these messenger groups have been four or five people, and then they grow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And new people bring new people with them. Yeah. And then you look how they fit in the groups, and they want how, if they want any groups or not. And
Do, sorry, that's my next question is the messenger groups, do you allow everyone that wants to come in or do you go like,
it depends on the topic of the messenger
oh, I
group.
see, okay,
There are
got
open
it.
messenger groups and closed messenger groups.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
But it's good to have a few so that you can check.
yes.
Oh, I see, this person wants to go swimming or this person wants to go hiking or this person wants to do some martial arts or something like
Sure,
that.
like that.
Or this person wants to go for a drink, a beer.
Yes.
Or this person wants to play pool. Or, okay, so there's, and then if you're busy, then you'll see that you've got five messenger groups. There's chatting going on, but you're
Yes,
busy with
everybody's.
something else. It doesn't matter because there's 80 to 100 people, so you don't have to respond.
That's the point.
That's
That's the
ingenious.
point. And also,
Wow.
like this, going back, going away from these messenger groups. I told you before, we have this flat, the restaurant, the bar, things like that. These are things they were open. Also, the flats are open. If there are friends of mine living there or part of the community, I just go there. I don't have to call them before. I just knock on the door and say, "Hey, I'm there." And then
Ah,
let's make dinner together or whatever. You just show up.
you can actually just show
Yeah,
up.
sure.
What?
Yeah. Also in the bar and the
That's how I
restaurant.
want to
Yeah.
live. That's honestly how I want to live, is I want to be able to knock on the door. And obviously if they say, listen, that's the importance of honesty as well with, you know, having this trust, is like you can knock on the door and the person says, you know, it's not actually a good night, you know. But most of the time, like with these flats, you said there were like eight or nine people living in some of these flats.
Sometimes
So you can knock on the door and
four
just
to
go like,
six, four
hey,
to eight,
let's hang out.
yeah.
Yeah. So
Perhaps
there's.
nobody's at home, then you go again, yeah. Then you go to another place.
Oh, you just go to another place. And everyone lives fairly close to each other.
By cycling 20 minutes maximum, 30 minutes, by
Okay.
cycling,
So by cycling 20,
walking,
so not that
circle.
close. That's like 5 or 10 kilometers.
Yes, it spreads through the city,
Spread
yeah.
through the city. Okay.
And
Yeah, but you can still
bike
get
if
there
you
on a
need to.
bicycle, yeah.
No
That's
problem.
awesome.
Yeah.
I really want to live like
Also,
that.
if you want to make a concert, we make a concert, video nights in our bar. If you want to, we have a movie. I want to lock with our friends. Then we have a beamer and the wall, and we look 20 or 30 people looking one movie together and drinking beers. Yeah,
A
or watching
beamer? A
sport.
beamer meaning
A beamer like a video wall.
oh, like a projector.
Yeah, a projector. Yes,
Projector.
a
So
projector.
somebody has like a projector and you
We
and
have it there. Just part of the stuff.
is this in the flat or is this
Like in a bar.
like at a bar?
Yeah, we have also there.
So you own a bar?
We own a bar, yes.
You own a bar and you own a restaurant? In this community.
Yeah.
Wow.
But nobody gets an income out of it. We just work there, but all the money we earn there from the bar or the restaurant goes in the financial fall to keep this structure.
Okay.
Yeah. So also when I work there, I do it for free. Yeah.
Now, you know what the thought that's coming to my mind, and I don't know if this is my narcissism showing up, it probably is, but it's like, who's the leader of this group?
there are no leaders in this group.
But how do you control the group? Surely you have to sit down with the group.
They are organized, their stuff, it's called plenums or plenas. Yeah. It's like a community meeting.
Yeah.
Or a gathering, how you want to call it. And
get together with
two different topics in different time frames. In a bar, we meet once per week. In other topics, we meet one by month, and there we can discuss and regulate the stuff and organize things.
Yeah,
we can also doing concerts, whatever. Yeah. We have bands there, DJs, blah blah blah, everything for me. Also, when we make these meetings, we cook for dinner most times or for lunch, and all the food is always for free. Yeah. And you can give tips if you want. Otherwise, you don't give tips, and then it's everything for free.
Wow, you've really opened my mind. That sounds like how I want to live. I realized that this was what I was lacking in my life. Mm-hmm. It was like community. Then you come here, and it was just an immediate community. And then I meet you with these fantastic. But it's taken quite a few years to get to this point, which is
sure.
But yeah, I mean, that's to be expected.
But it's also important. But otherwise, every single part of this work is too overwhelming. It's too much. Yeah, you have to organize stuff like this over years. Yeah, it's also
patient.
Yeah, otherwise it would be too much.
Yeah, if you try to do it in 6 months, if you try to set something up like this in 6 months, right.
Doing this stuff for also giving food for free and giving stuff for free. Yeah. We have also a closer core community, like something like this, and we think of ourselves like we are a crew growing together through life. Yeah, mm-hmm. And this affects everything in our life. Also, when one person has no work and has a problem with medical solutions or can't pay the rent. Yeah, before I went here to the holidays, I gave a friend of mine. I gave her 200 euro to solve a problem for her.
Yeah.
And I don't get it back. I just give it to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And something like this happens all the time. If a person has a problem, we all give our money together to solve this problem. Oh, also, when it's 1,000 euro, 2,000 euro, when we are so many people, we have many possibilities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone gives 50 euro, 20 euro. Yeah. And then it's much money.
The problem I have with it in my brain is when it gets big, it's hard to keep it egalitarian. It's hard to make everyone equal. How do you surmount? I mean, like, so when there's a couple hundred people, if anything gets big, it's really hard. Like, I think hunter-gatherers had maximum 150 people, okay. You know, because to make everyone equal in anything bigger than that would be really difficult.
Our solution for this is we have different groups. Where the
small groups, many small different groups.
Different small groups.
Okay.
They build from themselves over time because they have a closer mindset or the same age. Some are young, some are around 17 or 18, and some are older, like 50 or 40 or 30. So you have different life rhythms in people. Some work, some don't work, some make education, some go to university, some are pupils, something like that. Yeah. Some are immigrants. Or people on the move, or are allowed to work in Austria. So you have different people in complete different life situations. Mm-hmm. And they, for sure, they meet at different times. Some people meet in the morning. Some people meet in the afternoon. Some people this and that. Yeah. And
you said that it's not simple. Like you do fight, and you know there are
it's part of my life.
Yeah.
And conflicts are important.
Yeah.
Conflicts are important because the conflicts push us that we reflect ourselves and push us to grow and to solve problems.
Especially
if there are no problems, it's sick. This is
People want this utopia with no problems, but it's like, you actually need a bit of problem.
Nobody wants a life without conflict.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's irreal. it's not us in relationship. It's not possible.
No, you can't have
Perfect.
a even relationship with yourself without a bit of conflict, yeah.
Perfect is an illusion.
And what do you think about enlightenment then? This idea that you can become this enlightened soul, this enlightened being, that you detach from any, that you can just observe conflict and not actually be part of it, that you can observe it, and so you can actually watch yourself, like you actually be kind of watching yourself. Or you're watching the ego and conflict, knowing that you are separate to it. Do you think that there's validity to that? Do you think that
No,
that's possible? No.
it's not possible. Something like enlightenment doesn't exist. Nobody of us is perfect. Nobody is a holy person to be to have your ego out of every conflict dynamics. Yeah, it's impossible because you are part of the community, so part of the conflict. Point. Yeah, and if you don't and to mute yourself and don't say anything is a kind of cruel power you use as a tool.
Oh,
Yeah.
I see. To mute
To
yourself.
mute yourself, to don't say something, because people who talk can fail. People who don't talk can't fail because they don't say anything. But they are the, yeah. And then when the discussion is running or after days and people are failing, you say, I did say you. This is just arrogant and it's not working. You have to be part of the movement, to be part of the daily dynamics. Yeah. And you to mute something, muting is cruel.
It's cruel, yeah.
Is it?
It's kind of like a passive aggressive,
It's passive aggressive and it's shaming and it takes the other people the possibility to talk to you.
Something I learned from my dad actually, because he gets mute sometimes when he knows that the people are wrong what they're talking about. And my mother questions him about it. We've spoken about this quite a bit. She says, "Why didn't you say anything? Because you knew that they were talking about." Because myself and my mother are like, we more go like, no, that can't, that doesn't sound right, you know. Whereas my dad just stays silent. He goes like, if they want to believe that, you know. So sometimes being mute, especially when some people are like really, really, wait, what's the word? Not convicted in their beliefs. Phew, I'm sounding like German people when they battle for English. When people are very convinced in their beliefs, but their beliefs are still wrong, like it's definitely wrong. My dad just keeps quiet. He honestly, he just goes like, if they want to believe that, and also you're just using too much energy to try to change their mind. So I think there is quality to being mute at times, especially if it's somebody being ridiculous.
Sure. The point is, there's a difference between shut the fuck up and being muted.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You can shut down and say nothing for a time and just hear what the other say. Just always talking is wrong. Yeah. Hearing is much more important than talking. But the point is, if you mute yourself, you take out of the dynamics, then you are not part of the community because you're not, you take yourself out. Yeah. And you're a part which is missing in this discussion or in this conflict. Yeah, you can do this, but in a way you then you stop the conflict. You take you out of the conflict, and you in this way you take the other people the possibility to grow.
It's
And
a
you are
power.
and it's a form of
It's
power.
a form of power. It's
Yes.
definitely a form of power because,
And a power where nobody else can grab it. If you can talk, other people can say, other can find other arguments. But if you don't say anything, it's hard to argument with you. So you can, yeah. There's a difference, you know, between being muted and take a step out of the conflict and not being part of
Okay.
anything.
There's a big difference, yeah.
But when if you do this too often, you will lose the connection to the community.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you can live on your own if you don't want to take part.
Yeah, but obviously it's impossible to be an island, you know, no man is an island, there's that
No.
saying, and so it's not great to be mute, but obviously if people are being ridiculous, then maybe just keep quiet. But I was just going back to this community because I'm just flipping amazed by this. This is just really so interesting to me because, like I said in the previous podcast, I'm really interested in this Epicurus guy who came up with this and saying that there was the only one thing that is sustainable that we all agree on is that friendships and relationships are sustainable and they grow, that they get better over time. And that's what Epicureanism is so interesting to me. And also the fact that he is not about looking for the end of suffering, he's looking for happiness. Whereas a lot of philosophers are looking to end suffering. And there's a big difference because whatever you concentrate on grows. Not so. So if you're looking for happiness, then you might get it. Whereas the other people are looking to end suffering. So they're thinking about suffering all the time and they're focusing on suffering. Thanks so much for joining us, Steve. And Steve the babe slayer. No, I'm joking. No, you are one of the most interesting people that I've ever met. And seriously, I thank you so much for coming and joining me and for spending this time with me. It's
Thanks
been
so much,
amazing.
Ivor.
All
Thank you.
right. Okay.
It was nice to be here.
I returned from Thailand and was so excited because I had the best time of my life. I'd met these really cool people at this really close-knit community, and we'd got closer and closer over the time. And also, there were two things that I'd done there. I'd spend a lot more time in the moment, watching every sunrise and every sunset. So I thought, well, there's both of these things, that I'm going to include in my life. But then slowly over the time, my hypocrisy started taking over. I started becoming a bit of a hypocrite because at first I got this incredible this huge swan that we could go down the river in, and we did that on weekends, and I met some really cool people. But I slowly started my own sort of scarcity consciousness slowly started catching up with me, and I started getting more and more sort of anxious that the business, this podcast isn't going to succeed, and I needed to push out more and more content, and at the expense of interpersonal relationships. And I even made a video a whole year ago about how Jordan Peterson's message can be construed in the wrong way, and how people can do the can go down the wrong pathway because of how they interpret his message, by sort of prioritizing ambition over interpersonal relationships. And I started doing it myself, and then had quite a major dip, and then had to sort of rediscover. And this is why I believe that churches actually developed after hunter-gatherer communities, because we're so sort of programmed to live in this close community that if you just spend, one day a week around a community of sort of similar people or good people, that actually gives you that feeling of community. And that's why churches have stood the test of time, even though there's way less people in churches than what they used to be in comparison to the amount of population that is here. That is why we have gone away from this sort of clan mentality, and that's why there's such big mental health problems today, is because we have kind of moved away from the fall of God, that where people have become more scientific and they've gone, well, the whole Bible can't be true, so therefore, so it was all a big myth and all that. So what's happened is that there's this mental health problem, this lack of community. It's growing, and it's because people put ambition ahead of interpersonal relationships, and people don't have this community that they can go to, like 1,000 or 2,000 years ago, that everyone would have to go in their village to church at the end of every week, or there was one tavern that they'd all go to. I think the whole tavern mentality has carried on, which can be quite even better for your mental health than if you're an alcoholic, you still have that community, but it's not really good for your entire life to be an alcoholic. But it's actually better if after the age of 60, if you have a community, than if you just stay at home alone. You've got a much higher chance of actually dying. So these communities, it's so deep in our nature. But I'm very aware of my own hypocrisy with this, and I have been spending over the last few weeks spending more energy, putting more energy into interpersonal relationships. This has been a real big revelation for me that the spiritual practice that I was doing in Thailand couldn't exist without the sense of community that I had there. So hope you enjoyed the podcast with Steve, and we'll see you next time.